Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are going to share the miracle of salvation. Now, what takes place when salvation occurs? Now, we are going to answer that today. Now, this podcast is going to help you see what transpires when a person gives their heart to the Lord. What takes place is a transformation, which is not only life-changing, but opens our eyes to our purpose in life. Now, becoming a child of God gives us direction, fulfillment, hope, and eternal life.
And Bill, this is nothing short of miraculous.
Now, that's so true. You know, something most don't realize is that before we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are dead in our sins, so we are separated from God. Now, this means we are dead spiritually and on our way to hell.
And when a person trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God gives them a new heart and a new spirit.
That's right.
As Ezekiel 11:19, 18:31, and 36:26 state. And in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That's a miracle taking place.
Right.
You know, we become alive spiritually and we become a child of God. We are now part of God's family. John 1:12, John 17:9, Galatians 3:26 all state this, and we are saved from an eternal hell.
Thank God.
I mean, right then we are receiving eternal life. And the scripture states that the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work together to save someone.
That's right. It takes all three. John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Then in Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And then in John 16:8, Jesus said, "And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin." So you see, it takes the Heavenly Father to draw a person, the Son to reveal the Father, and the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin. Now, our part as a Christian witness is simply to deliver the message of salvation. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to do just that. You know, John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And the comforter is the Holy Spirit.
That is amazing, Bill. I mean, God lives within us as a child of God. His Spirit is within us.
That's amazing.
You know, once we are born again, and 1 Peter 1:23 speaks of this, we now can have a relationship with God. Jesus said in John 3:3 and in verse 7, a person must be born again. Just as a person is born in this physical life, so a second birth is necessary for eternal life. We receive eternal life again right then. You know, not just when we go to heaven.
That's right.
The born-again person can now hear God's voice. Jesus said so in John 10:27 also.
And that's a wonderful thing, to hear God's voice.
Absolutely.
You know, and just to share a few stories about that. You know, we were at a church and a lady came up to us at the end when we were standing in the back. And she said, "Bill, I read your book and I got saved. I was so excited that I just felt like I was supposed to go talk to my neighbor." And so she said, "I went out that very day and I witnessed to my neighbor, and she listened and she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She became a Christian. I was so excited." She says, "But then the very next day, she was in a car accident. My neighbor was in a car accident and died." Now, 2 points. What if she wouldn't have gone? You know, her friend would have most likely gone to hell. But the point is, she was only one day old and she heard the voice of the Lord instructing her to go next door. She had this a desire to go share the gospel with her neighbor.
And a tender heart towards God.
Right.
You know, she was willing.
Right. One day old Christian. Another story was when we were at a church, and a man, after the altar call, this man stood up and he said, "I just gave my heart to Jesus." And he said, "You know, I'm a tattoo artist, and I just feel I shouldn't be doing that." He was convicted in his heart, just already, just saved 5 minutes.
Yes, and you know, probably also, you know, because a lot of times they do put demonic tattoos on people.
Right. So this is not to make people feel terrible if they have a tattoo.
No, no. You know? Or if they are a tattoo artist. But this is just interesting to see how a brand new baby Christian felt convicted, like, I need to do something else.
Right. You know, and there is a scripture, Leviticus 19:27 or 28 says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you." So it does say that. So, you know, if you've done it, it's not really a big issue, you know, but the point is it's better not to.
Yes. And this is not to, I should say, condemn, not convict, condemn anyone. But if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you in this area, then definitely follow that. You know, right. And then what did he do? Because he felt like he wasn't supposed to do this anymore.
Right. So he asked me, "What should I do? I don't have any other skills." And I just asked him, "Is it possible to remove a tattoo?" And he said, "Yes, but it's very difficult. Very few people can do that." I said, "Could you do it?" And he said, "Yeah, I could." I said, "Well, there you go. Do that." So he was all excited about that. So he didn't, he could use his skills still.
Yeah, that's so cool.
You know, another story was, we were at a church, and it was in a rougher area of town. And at the end of the altar call, this little boy, 7-year-old named Matthew, stood there and he was weeping. And he said, "I just came forward and gave my heart to Jesus." And he said, "I don't have much, but I've got 25 cents and I want to give it into your ministry because I think it's a good ministry." Now, I was amazed that this little boy gave all he had. He goes, "This is all I have, 25 cents. But the point was, he just got saved, and he already had a heart to want to give to God's work.
That is so precious. It reminds me of the widow's mite in the Gospels.
Right. So these three stories show, as brand new Christians, they have a desire to witness, a desire not to do evil, and a desire to give to God's work.
And you can only have a relationship with the Lord when you are born again. And this means you have received or put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus said in John 7:28 that these Jews didn't know the Father. Then he said in Matthew 7:23, "I never knew you." And finally, he said in John 14:17, "The world does not know the Holy Spirit." So by these three verses, you can see that the world, the unsaved, they do not know the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost. Luke 13:24-28 states that only those who God knows will enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. You know, the only ones who have a relationship with the Lord are those who are his children. They are the saved, the redeemed, the born again. Now, after we become a Christian, we must renew our minds with the Word of God. You know, we are a three-part being, as 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out. We are a spirit, we have a soul, which is our will, mind, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. Our spirit is now perfect and alive to God once we are born again. But our soul, well, that needs some work.
Isn't that true? You know, Romans 12:1-2 tells us that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when we read and study the Word of God, it gets into our heart, it gets into our thinking, and our desires and actions begin to change. We begin to think right or godly about situations. We'll stop allowing our flesh and emotions to rule us. We'll avoid a lot of problems in life just by renewing our mind with the Word of God. And this is called a sanctification process, right? And it is a process.
Exactly.
But too often is too many Christians do not do this.
Right.
And then they're wondering why they're struggling so much with their emotions and flesh, right?
Right, because the Word of God really isn't in their heart. You know, they haven't placed it in their heart. So
yes,
that's a renewing of the mind.
And when we're born again, like you said, we have a new spirit and a new heart, but we do not have a new flesh.
Right.
Right. Or new emotions. That's the part of us that's still there and needs work or renewal by the Word of God.
We have to train our flesh through applying the Word of God.
And then take action as it tells us, you know, and what to do.
Right. Now, after we are saved, good work should follow. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in Matthew 25:34-40, Jesus explained that good works bear witness we are saved. 1 Timothy 6:18 says that they do good that they be rich in good works. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And one more verse, Titus 2:7 says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." Now there are more verses that state the same. Matthew 3:7, Luke 6:46, Luke 8:21, 1 Peter 2:12, James 3:13, Hebrews 10:24, and Titus 2:7, and many others.
So a Christian has a desire in his heart to show the love of God also, Bill, to others.
Right.
Right. In John 13:35, it says, "By this," which he's saying, "by love, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another."
That's right.
Now, we are saved by grace through faith and not by the works, as Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Galatians 2:16, and Titus 3:5 state. However, works are the evidence we are saved. They are not the root of our salvation, but the fruit. They are not the cause, but the effect.
That's so true. You know, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Now, may we be a reflection of Jesus and be a godly example to a world that desperately needs to know him.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.